Today on Real Life Radio.
Listen, they take the reality, they have their experiences based in truth, their reason, their faith. There's no contradiction, there's no hypocrisy. And they take what they have learned and they believe it, and it changes the world.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. If you picked up your copy of the one-year Bible yet, we'll be reading that one-year Bible as a church family in 2024, so why don't you join us as we go through the one-year Bible together from cover to cover. It'll be awesome to see how God's Word comes alive through the pages of Scripture. It's an unforgettable devotional experience, and once you see how much God loves you, you will never be the same. The one-year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, With Hearts on Fire. This series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 24, we'll consider what makes us a true believer. You see, faith and reason, they go together. Without faith, we eventually give up on life. But having faith in faith alone will only lead us to frustration. Reason, on the other hand, is our way of thinking. But reason alone doesn't make us a true follower of Jesus Christ. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us to judge everything up against the Bible. It's where experience and reality unites with the truth. And when we finally know the truth for ourselves, our heart's desire will be to share it with others. Now with his message called With Hearts on Fire, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
If we are going to be real Christians, we cannot, as the saying goes, check your brains out at the door and then come into church. Oh no. I love the fact that yesteryear Christianity, all the way back, in fact, go all the way back to Genesis. I believe that a believer in God and a Christian should be the most profound citizen, incredibly gifted. I believe that the Christian should be a person that is energized, because what drives us is a greater cause. I don't think there should be anything lukewarm about our lives. It's not representative of who our God is. That's why the Bible says, whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Are you an artist? Then do it to the glory of God. Michelangelo was big on that. Rembrandt. Years ago, our team was at the Hermitage in Russia, and there's a famous painting of Rembrandt. Look at this. It's like this. Jesus is on the cross, and he's looking right out of the painting. He's looking at you, and he's nailed to the cross. And Rembrandt is coming in the other way with his Rembrandt clothes on, and a hammer, and he's hammering the nails into the hands of Jesus. Rembrandt believed that it was his sins who put Jesus on the cross. I think the same thing. Experience, life, in reality, united in heart and mind. Verse 41 says that while they were there, they did not believe for joy, meaning they were completely blown away, and marveled. The word marveled is admiring. Jesus was standing there, and for a moment, the word implies that the logic of their brain was this: is this real? Is this moment real? And they were completely for joy overwhelmed. And Jesus, imagine, how do you break that moment? And how do you change that? Do you pull out smelling salts? Do you clap? They're frozen. This is what Jesus does. Church, this is awesome. Verse 41, Jesus says, have you any food? Is this not cute? Have you any food? And so they gave him a piece of fish, broiled fish, open flame fish, and honeycomb. I looked that up. That's Wahoo, fish tacos right there. And it's biblical. Look, he took and he ate it in their presence. They handed him a fish taco. He bites it. He just appeared to them supernaturally, but he's got holes in his hands and his feet. He eats this. In some way, it communicates to them, oh, this is for real. This is for real. Isn't this amazing? I think it's very cool. Why is the Bible telling us this? And it's not the only time, mind you. The scriptures tell us that Jesus, remember last week, the Emmaus Road, he sat down at the table with them and he broke the bread and then they recognized him. The Bible tells us in John chapter 21, after the resurrection, verses 9 and 10, that Jesus was on the shore while they were fishing and he had a barbecue going with fish and bread, fish tacos. And he said, hey, bring your fish over here. Potluck. I got my fish. I got my bread. You bring your fish. Hey, we'll have a great time together. What is this? Isn't it interesting that in heaven, the Bible says you and I will be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. How bizarre is this? What will food taste like in heaven? Who knows? But it's apparently a big deal. Jesus, in some way, shape, or form, it communicates to them, he's eating in front of us, he's for real. It begins to assemble these things that we're not just following some dream. The experience, the reality in heart and in mind is this, that what we have truly believed is fact. We are not today, nor were they then, following some ridiculous man-made concoction of some Middle Eastern religion. This was the fulfillment, as we'll see in a moment, of God's eternal word. Also this, verse 44, uniting the past and the present. This is glorious to me. Jesus said to them, notice in the courtroom of opinion where doubt is present, watch how Jesus combats their bewilderment. He says to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. That's a reference before he died. Before I went to the cross, remember what I said? And here's what it was. All things must be fulfilled which were written in, number one, the law of Moses. That's the first five books of the Bible. Number two, the prophets, all of them. Three, the Psalms, all of them. You know what Jesus just said? Contrary to people today who are belittling, attacking, they've always been around, they're always going to be around. You can't trust the Bible. You can't rely upon the Word of God. Blah, blah, blah. What a joke. Jesus says, it's all concerning me. The Bible, from Moses, his first writing, Genesis 1:1, all the way through to the end of Malachi, it's me. Who are we to criticize? Him. We can try, wasting our time. Well, you know, you can't believe in all the scriptures. Jesus said the scriptures, and he makes note of them. The Old Testament, intact during his day. Jesus says, believe them. Remarkable. Bringing the past to the present. That's what the Word of God does. Obviously, equipping us for the future. Clearly here, this teaches us also that we're to take the Word of God literally. You'll never do wrong. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, that foundation's so true, we can look to our future. Jesus says, the scripture says, I am of your brethren, the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I don't want to belabor this, but guess what? People hear the word prophecy and they want to panic. Don't panic. The first prophetic eschatological doctrine of the Bible that's prophetic is the doctrine of your salvation. It's not the 10 toes on Daniel's statue and what does this mean and that mean. The first prophetic utterance of God's word was spoken by God himself, mind you, to Satan in the Garden of Eden when he said, you will be at war with the offspring of the woman, but he will crush your head. A reference to Jesus triumphant over Satan's work at the cross. Wow. Amazing. And so, mark this. Uniting experience and reality. And he opened, verse 45, their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. This is tremendous. A little bit about experience and reality and having this united in the Word of God and for us as being Christians, being reasonable, logical, smart, we know what we believe kind of Christians. Check this out. Experience. We live in a dangerous time right now because people talk so much about experience. We live in a terrible age, you guys. I just found out yesterday that I sent an email to three people. Somebody sent me an email and they said, I don't understand something. I heard this about this guy. Do you guys know him out on the West Coast? If anybody knows him, let me know. So I said, hey, you guys, I don't know him. Maybe you know him. So I sent the email to my buddies. They wound up copying it to other people. By the time I got word of it yesterday, you should hear all this stuff I said on the email. I didn't even write it. But you and I live in that age. It's absolutely awesome. It's insane. Nothing has to be true anymore. And what is true, you may never find out. He said, she said, even pictures. How many times do you get an image of an eagle flying over something and it's like, it looks kind of odd to me. Then you find out it's a total hoax. It's a Photoshop thing where this eagle is picking up, you know, California and dropping it in the ocean or something. I mean, it's like, what is that? Experience. Oh, you know what? I felt it. I had a feeling. It must be real. Danger. Experiential Christianity only will destroy your life. Experiential faith will destroy your life. It must be based upon reality. Reality found in Scripture. It's this experiential-based faith that has brought forth the seeker movement or the emergent church movement. The declarations that are being said today. Whatever God said in the old is done away with. God has a new opinion in our modern enlightened age. That's being taught in churches from sea to shining sea. You don't need to believe that part of the Bible. You only need to believe this part of the Bible. You guys, you may not know this because you're in a Bible-teaching church. That is a big problem out there. Oh, you guys don't believe in that, do you? And now the big thing is it's advanced to Jesus isn't coming back. Haven't you read that? Don't you know that? All the big people don't believe that. All the who big people what? It's amazing. Be careful. It's got to be rooted in reality.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Number three, we'll wrap it up with this. Third point, verses 46 to 48. Our hearts are on fire as theirs because fact and mission is the result. Facts produce a mission. Come on. It's a fact. Results in our life's foundation this way. Verse 36, then he said to them, thus it is written. I like that. Why do you believe what you believe? Thus it is written. Do you see all of a sudden, you guys, it pits the critic against the word of God. Come on. None of us are experienced enough, nor can we be, to defend the word of God. The word of God defends itself. We just need to know how to present it, to use it. Just state it. Don't make it up. Say it. We don't have to tiptoe around with the word of God. Thus it is written, says Jesus, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to be raised from the dead the third day. You know what I thought about that for a moment? He said, that's biblical. You know how Jesus said, before I come back, because they asked, when are you coming back? And he said, I'll tell you when. There's going to be a lot of deceivers. That will be one of the indicators. And they're going to say that they are the Christ, and they're going to deceive a lot of people. Think about that for a second. Did not he just say a moment ago, look at the holes in my feet, in my hands. If a Messiah shows up, if somebody says, for example, Islam is waiting for the Mahdi to come and rescue them, the Messiah. Okay, show me your hands and your feet. If somebody walks in the doors and says, I'm the Messiah. Really? What's your name? My name's Jesus. Really? Show us your hands and your feet. Huh? They got to have holes in them. Fact and mission. Jesus rose from the dead. This is very critical because we have a mission that results in an important thing. Number one, or I should say this, number two, is that the results are our life's purpose. Please hear this. 47 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Amazing. The word repent or repentance is metanoia. Change your mind. Change your mind, Jesus said. By the way, it's the first word of the gospel. It's the first word of the gospel. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. It's the same word Jesus said, same word John the Baptist said. It's the same word Peter said. It's the same word Paul said. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sins and you shall be saved. Repent. Metanoia. Change your mind about what you think between you and God. I don't want to hear that. That's your problem. It doesn't change the Bible. Repent of the way that you change the way you think. It can happen in a second. It's your choice. Change your mind. Jesus says, change your mind and remission. You know, that this is sad because our culture is so far from God, it's almost illegal to talk about remission. It's too admit that you need your life fixed. We are an enabling generation. You don't have to stop. You don't have to stop doing that. You can keep doing that. I just love swallowing razor blades. You can do, if you want to do that, you can do that. You know what? I just, is that what you feel? You can do that. What is wrong with us? The word remission says, stop it. The word remission says, are you destroying your life? Yes, I'm destroying my life. Then stop it. And here's how. Change your mind about Jesus. That's how you fix it? Mm-hmm. Because you don't have the strength to fix your life. He does. And remission is, I agree. It's, I agree with God. I need fixing. But no. We can't preach the gospel. We can't announce prayer in city council in Jesus' name if we live in Lancaster. So if you say that, you know what, this situation is going on in your life, you should only sleep with your wife. Imagine. Well, I have a hard time, you know. Stop it. Right? Stop it. Go home. Bring your wife in. Marriage counseling. Come on. Oh, no, you can't quench his. You see where we live? No wonder why people don't want the gospel. And yet it's the very thing they need. Gospel? No. Everything else? Yes. It's a heartbreak. You say, Jack, why are you so lit up about this? Because I love people. That's why God called me to do what I'm doing. I don't often sound like I guess I love you when I tell you, don't do that. But you know what? It's because I love you. If I didn't care, believe me, if I didn't care, I'd be in Honolulu right now. Trust me. If a human can care, how much more does God care? And there's things that hurt and destroy our lives. There's a purpose. And then it's this, and we end right here, right now. Results in our life's message. This is cool. Get out your pen if you haven't written anything down yet. Verse 48, Jesus said, and you are witnesses of these things. Do you know what this means? The word martis is the word witness. It means you have been a judicial witness. You've seen the data. You've seen the evidence. You put your brain, it means to put your thoughts and what's happened together in perfect unity. In perfect unity. I saw what happened. I read all about it. And this is what I've concluded. Jesus said, you're witnesses. It means to testify, to give testimony. It means to bear record of the facts. It means to present the evidence and to explain of your experience regarding the facts. I give testimony. This is tremendous. The message. It results in a message, my friends, that we do not need to be ashamed of. We need to be bold and empowered like never before. We need to let people know. And here's the wonderful thing. Jesus is saying, you are witnesses of these things. And in that announcement, it's almost as though he's asking us to raise our hand and to swear an oath. And that is, I now know this to be true. And Jesus said, good, take it. Take it to the world. Take it to the ends. And here's the fun part. We're all done. We're going to hear about all those in that room right now, they're all going to go home. They're going to go back home. All the women are going to go back to their homes. The family, the couple from Emmaus, they're going to go home. Peter's going to go home, back up to the Galilee. They're all going to go home. It's when they go home that the whole thing happens. Listen, they take the reality. They have their experiences based in truth, their reason, their faith. There's no contradiction. There's no hypocrisy. And they take what they have learned and they believe it, and it changes the world. That's what God wants us to do today. Let's pray together. Father, we just ask of you now, Lord God, you're amazing. And we are in awe of you, Father. And we are so grateful that we don't have to take a blind leap of faith, that we don't have to have some sort of ridiculous mantra chant life of trying to convince ourselves of something. The reality of who you are, Father, for maybe all of us, certainly most of us in this room, has permeated our soul. And I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that for those that are here today that they have never experienced this reality, which affects, Lord, their experience based upon the remarkable and wonderful facts, reason, faith. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would change hearts today. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd fill every believer with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, make unsettled, make uncomfortable, wake up the one today who does not yet know you and needs to know you now. We love you, God. Thank you for this amazing spring day. You're so good to us. And we just want to tell you that we love you. In Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called With Hearts on Fire. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So today you heard an altar call at the end of the message, and I'd like to let you know that just because it was on the radio, it doesn't make it any less real. If you felt God move in your life today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'd love to know about it, and we'd like to help you out with some resources. Visit jackhibbs.com, and there's a tab there that says Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. I have Pastor Jack in the studio right now, and we're catching up about our current featured resource, the one-year Bible. So Pastor Jack, you and I were talking about the one-year Bible, of course.
Right.
And you said that it can make a big church small and a small church big. What does that mean?
Yeah. For 30 years now, we have introduced every year, leading up to the new year, the one-year Bible. I think it's published by Tyndale. That's irrelevant. But it's the one-year Bible. And for us, when we were a small church, it really was us reading the Bible through as a church family.
Yeah.
And what I used to say was, and you almost had it right, it makes a small church powerful.
Oh, got it.
But okay. As the years went on and the church grew into the many thousands that do now attend, it makes a big church small.
Yeah.
How's that? It puts everybody on the same page literally every day. So we have sold many thousands and thousands of these one-year Bibles over the years. And it's just beautiful. It's great. People love it, and it's a great challenge. And yeah.
So the first time I did it, it took me like 3 years. Like, no kidding, because I.
So the 1 year felt like three years.
It literally took me 3 years. But here's the thing, and I remember you saying this to a bunch of us last year. Just catch up on the day that we're on.
Yes, I'm a big fan, everybody. We've all bought devotions and embarked upon a devotion, and then we get the flu
or we got to travel, or we forget, and then we're behind. And then the first thing you know, by January 15th, you're a week behind, and you throw the devotion in the trash because now you're so guilty.
Right.
And again, we learned over the years, forget all that. Read the day that you're on. If you're sick or you're traveling and you miss a week, that's all right. Join us on the day that it is. Stay true to the calendar date that is printed up in that one-year Bible, and we'll be together in spirit.
All right, that's the one-year Bible, and it's our current featured resource. Join us this year, would you? Experience the power of reading through the Bible along with thousands of fellow believers. Receive a copy of the one-year Bible when you give a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Here's our website, jackhibbs.com. Once again, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.